Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This week, I have the great opportunity to welcome to the show Marsh Engel. Marsh is internationally known for innovative and inspiring approach to career, entrepreneurship, my favorite word, and life. She is a leading supporter of high creativity. Again, another one of my favorite phrases. So following a career as an award-winning entrepreneur for over 25 years, Marsh has dedicated her life work to inspiring people, especially women, to create an entrepreneurial success, spiritual connection, and creative innovation. Pay attention to that because we're going to be talking a lot about all of those things, entrepreneurial success, spiritual connection, and creative innovation. Very, very, very important. In 2002, I have a cold today and I'm trying not to sneeze, so just kind of bear with me today. But anyway, in 2002, Marsh was honored with a United States Congressional Proclamation for her leadership in establishing the Amazing Women's Day Initiative, which was designed to ignite transformation and celebrate innovation among women. Since that time, the Amazing Women's Day movement has grown into a global initiative which impacts the lives of women in Kingston, Jamaica, Toronto, Canada, and cities throughout the United States. So as a transformational journalist and an author of the acclaimed Amazing Woman, Amazing World book series, Marsh has interviewed hundreds of women, including California First Lady Maria Shriver and a ton of others. Following September 11, she traveled to the firehouses of New York City to study the life stories of the fewer than 26 women who serve among the 12,000 firefighters of FDNY. Her acclaimed book, Amazing Woman, Amazing Firefighters, shares insights learned during that year-long investigation. It's really a must-read. As a distinctive authority in the field of transformation, creativity, and entrepreneurship, Marsha shared the stage with names that include inspirational leader Marianne Williamson, Bisu Bisu, fashion. I'm laughing because I have a lot of Bisu Bisu in my closet. Bisu Bisu fashion icon Michelle Bobot. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly. And television and film star Rolanda Watts. As a marketer, her clients include Paramount Pictures, Viacom, Children's Television Workshop, Australian Broadcasting, and more. Her productions have been seen by hundreds of thousands across the United States, including those at the White House. Remember the White House? Anyway, the Marsh Engel Show, she has a radio show. The Marsh Engel Show broadcasts each Monday on Voice America Business. Marsh, I'm out of breath. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Very, very happy to be here with you today.
Well, I'm excited, and we've chatted before, and I've been following you around for a good bit. Very impressed with your work. I'm a great proponent, as I said earlier, of the things that you're doing, and I am really excited to have you here. So before I launch into the dozens of questions that I have for you, and trust me, I have a ton of them, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today? What was your journey?
Boy, I, you know, had this deep longing for a deeper connection with myself, with my feminine nature, with my creative nature, with the possibilities of my life. And I had a few promptings along the way that helped me to have that movement forward. I was running a very, very large promotional marketing agency that I started, by the way, at my kitchen table. Oh, you know, I had two young sons, and I had just gotten divorced and needed to find a career path that would give me a source of income and flexibility. And I started my first promotional marketing agency right from my kitchen table, and built it into a multi-million dollar company that had, you know, lots of employees and lots of responsibility and lots of big clients to report to and do the work for. And suddenly, unexpectedly, on January 15th of 1999, I received a phone call that really changed my life completely and changed the focus of what I felt was important to me, changed the focus of me being willing to live what matters to me and get real with myself. Honestly, just get really real with what I wanted my life to look like. Take back my power and know that I had the ability to do that. And that phone call was the day that I learned that my mom had died suddenly, unexpectedly.
Yeah, and I was going to ask. I wasn't sure if I should ask, but I wanted to.
Yeah, really painful, really a painful experience for me because I, you know, when somebody passes, you know, I don't think, first of all, I have to say is that I don't think anybody prepares us for the passing of one of our parents because the
no.
love that we can feel from them is just immense. And I really went inward. I went back to Indiana. You know, of course, I live in Los Angeles, and I went back to Indiana and I sat in my mom's room. I called it my mom's room because where she kept all of her belongings that she, you know, loved, her angels and her jewelry, all the things she loved. She was a beautiful woman and beautiful heart. And I sat there and I realized there was a part of me that was really had been stuffed away, had been kept in hiding, and that part of me was longing to be expressed in the world, and I believe it to be my feminine nature, a much more balanced approach to my creativity, and I had to get real with myself in order to even acknowledge that to begin with, and I heard the words, "The Search for the Amazing Woman." And, you know, I knew that my mom was an amazing woman, but I went to work on taking action on those words that I heard, "A Search for the Amazing Woman." And I stepped out and I decided to interview my entire family about my mom. I wanted to know what their point of view was and, you know, how is it that they see her to be an amazing woman and what were their memories of her and their love for her. And I interviewed her friends and the members of her church and everyone that I could, that knew my mom even remotely. I went to work doing that, and I collected this beautiful memory of my mom, and I put it into a eulogy, and I put it into a story that I told at her funeral. And that was the first story that I told on A Search for the Amazing Woman, the story of my mom's life. That was the first Amazing Woman story I told. And of course, then I went on to a journey that took me into the world of all types of amazing women, because I have to tell you that I believe that we're all amazing women. I believe that there's not one single one of us that does not have an incredible story to tell about our life experience. And within that life experience are the seeds of our greatness and the seeds of our honor and celebration of this life that we're living that is bringing us to a deeper clarity about what our contribution is here. And I really believe that to be, and I learned it by being out interviewing women from every walk of life you could imagine. And I began to write stories about them, and before I knew it, I had a book, and before I knew it, that book was being published by a publishing company, and that was my first book, Amazing Women, Amazing World, which is a small, beautiful gift book that means so much to me because it was really my start in transitioning from one career field to the other, from being behind the scenes and producing to being in front of the scenes, helping others tell the story and celebrating their lives. And that was quite the journey itself, just making that transition. But that's how it all started for me. I had a vision of wanting to be more connected with myself and used that vision, that longing that I had that was bubbling up within me, to go out and discover women like you around the world that are really making a difference in their lives and making contributions through being more of who they are.
Right. So, Marsha, if I'm understanding correctly, you weren't in the position that a lot of women find themselves, a lot of men, too, find themselves in these days where their job just goes away or their career just kind of goes away. You actually made a decision to transition from one to another.
I did, and it seems to be part of my path. I'm a bit of a trailblazer, and I encourage all of us. If there's a new way that's wishing to come forth, that there's a choice that I can make in my career. Somebody once said to me that I was a bold risk taker. And I was like, I'm not a bold risk taker. I don't get what you mean. Well, yes, you are. Look at that. You made the choice to shift from one career field. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom and got divorced and decided to do something to build a business, you know, had an idea for a business and put that into action and started building a business. And I guess to some people that's bold risk-taking. And I didn't see it at the time. What I saw was it was responding to my own need, responding to something that required action. And I took action on that, and I didn't see it as a bold risk at all. Looking back, it must have been at the time, right?
Well,
you know, sometimes we are taking those bold risks, and we don't realize that we're taking bold risks. We're just simply responding to what is, and we're taking action based on what's required in that moment. And I think that's a good way for us to consider it. And also trailblazing. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of women that I consider to be trailblazers. I actually think we're all trailblazers when we're taking action in new ways. And all of the trailblazers that I've interviewed really didn't realize that they were trailblazing, really didn't realize that they were making shifts or creating new paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they simply responded to what is and took the action to live that fully without a lot of thought, you know, more with the spontaneous action. And I think it's important for us that many times we have to kind of rev ourselves up to think that we have enough courage to do something. But what if we just spontaneously took action to respond to a need that we saw and allowing that to bring that courage to us, that new level that we're looking for? And I think it's a great way to look at it.
I do too. You know, as an entrepreneur, and you are clearly an entrepreneur, I can tell you that I wake up every morning with a cast iron stomach. It does not occur to me or any other entrepreneur that I know or work with or have interviewed. The common denominator among all of us is that we have cast iron stomachs. It does not occur to us that failure is an option. Now, we may hit a wall, but we're going to go over it, around it, under it. We're going to blow the darn thing up. But we're not going to be stopped.
That's a great,
and you're
a great
absolutely right.
I think that part of the entrepreneurial spirit is one that is creative and solution focused.
Right.
So when we do run up against an obstacle, or we do, you know, rub up against some kind of resistance, we know that being the creative, being the innovator, being solution focused, that there's an answer there for us. We just have to slow ourselves down, center ourselves, and allow that clarity to come in so that there's a new action that we can take in response to that. And I think that's part of the entrepreneurial spirit, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is. And you know what I want to ask you, too, and this is a little bit off topic, but maybe not. One thing that women, we always hear this about women, and it goes to what you're speaking about, is that we multitask. So does that, in your opinion, does that work into how we approach these problems and solutions, is that we are able to multitask and look at things from, you know, we can look at one problem, if you will, from 10 different standpoints and come up with the best answer?
Yes, I don't know if I consider it to be multitasking as much as I see that women have a wide range of ability to create different perspectives around any one situation. You know, even when I work a lot with women and the way they tell their stories or the way they create their brand stories, and if we look at any one experience, we right now could tell dozens of interpretations or stories around the way we see that one experience. So think about it. If we're that way with a challenge and we start to tell all of the different stories and the different perceptions or perspectives of the way that might be solved, one of those, I guarantee you, or a combination of those is going to make a difference. And it's going to, we're going to see some breakthrough happen. And we're going to see a new way. Actually, that's where innovation comes from. I think if we're talking about, and I love the word innovation, I think if we're talking about innovation and we consider taking lots of our ideas or lots of different solutions that we found to one given problem, and we cook those up together, before we know it, we have a new solution. We have a new innovation that we're bringing forth. And if it's our courage, you know, getting back to that conversation about bold risk-taking or trailblazing, I think the more we as women or as a humanity can get very comfortable in getting outside of any kind of exact form something has to be, or an exact structure the way it's done before, or this is proven method that will guarantee you an outcome in this way. I think we have to get comfortable in innovating new answers and innovating new solutions and innovating new approaches to any one given experience, so that we do start to make differences in the world. And we're so talented in doing this. I don't know if I call it multitasking, but I definitely know that women have a wide range of intuitive perspective and perception that we can bring forth that can create real answers and change, not only in our own career, but in the world.
I agree with you. I really do. And I am not male bashing by any stretch of the imagination, but I know myself, and I know my friends who are female, and I know that we can be some wondrous creatures. And we just need to tap into
that. You know, I absolutely, it's the perfect time to talk about how much I love men. I love men, and I have many, many men in my life that are as innovative and solution-focused as any woman that I know. So definitely there's beautiful, this is an energetic quality that I think if it's women or men, we can all come together and begin to look at life differently from that innovation. You know, how can I create change in the world? How can I create a new solution to this problem? And I think that whether it be man or woman, that we all have that ability. Women tend to be open to it much quicker because we're naturally intuitive. So our intuitive abilities allow that, you know, that wider perception. But I have so many beautiful men in my life that are models for me of real innovation.
So do I, and I'm so glad you said that, because while we will be talking today about women, because that is the focus of our show today, women entrepreneurs, women being successful, feminine power, you know, our self-esteem as women, men are so important in our lives and in our world. And like you, I've got men in my life, my husband being one of them. In fact, you and I met on Facebook because we were talking about, you know, who is one of the most important people in your life. And I think I posted on my husband. And I tend to think of my husband as before and after. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I mean, we have our days where I could kill him cheerfully. But, you know, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. And he's a solution-focused guy. And, you know, he is kind of a risk-taker. And I look to him oftentimes for support in my risk-taking, if that makes any sense. Because I know I'm going to do it. And it's so nice to know he's got my back, you know.
It's really important conversation, because men really, what I have found is that they're just waiting for me to ask them for that support or give them ways that they can offer that support to us. And I have many men, especially, you know, I'm known mostly for running in the Amazing Women's Day movement, and so there's a lot of women in my community. However, more and more and more men are moving into our programs that I offer, and they come to me constantly saying, how can I support you, Marsh, or how can I support the women in your community? They really, I think that it's come to a time where we as women have already found that sense of empowerment. We've already found that sense of clarity within us, and now it's opening up and saying, okay, this is what I want, wish to bring forth. Who around me, be it man or woman, who around me can help to support the growth of what we're talking about here? Who around me can support this mission that I see my life to be? Or who around me can support the building of my company? And we can work together as a collaborative community. So I think we're really moving into that. Don't you get that sense that it's really more about unity these days than it is about any kind of competition? At least in the world that I'm living in, I'm seeing it more and more present all the time.
Well, I do see that. And one thing, and I've had this conversation with several people, you know, over the course of time, my, you know, either my mastermind group or my business coach or my husband or people like you that I've had the opportunity to interview, what I am finding, and I have always said this about the internet community, if you will, the internet opens up so many opportunities that, frankly, we wouldn't have in our local community. You know, I wouldn't meet you in my Walmart. I wouldn't, for starters, I don't go to Walmart, but number two, we wouldn't talk. We wouldn't know who each other was or what we do or why we should be interested. So we just, the internet is just an amazing thing. And what I'm finding in my particular industries, I'm a virtual assistant, I'm a web developer, is that the more you give and the more you offer and the more you put out advice and how-tos and, you know, just offer help, the more your community rallies around you. And by helping other people, you're helping yourself, they're helping other people. It's a win-win situation.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I just I heard a beautiful speaker a couple nights ago say, which is absolutely the philosophy that I live by, is that the teacher many times is learning as they're teaching. So when we open up this new idea or this new sharing or this new insight that somebody's looking for and we are willing to give that out, give that to somebody, that opens us up for new clarity. So many times through that sharing process, I know you and I had an incredible conversation where you were extremely generous with information to move me to the next level, which allowed me to get enthused about the work that you and I are talking about doing together.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I rethought of that day many, many times about what that reflected to me when you were so generous to offer up information that then ignited a new level of enthusiasm in me that will now come back to you. So it's a real interesting experience that when we open up and we share our wisdom, what we know, what we naturally know, that sometimes we may even devalue because it's so natural to us. I guess that's an important point that, you know, sharing what you know so well, many times we think is that's not that big of a deal because it's so natural to us. But to somebody that's looking for that, I mean, when you shared that wisdom with me the other day, it was like genius to me because it's a world that I really, and I said to you, you know, it's not a world that I've been living in, but I need what you know. I need the insights that you can share with me because that's going to move me forward. And in doing that, that conversation that day had such an enthusiasm came from that because it was like, okay, now I see how we can structure this. Now I see how I can make it easy and we can really begin to service more of a larger community. And that was a great conversation. I just want to thank you for that. But I think my point being
you're welcome.
Many times when we are given an opportunity to share what is our innate value, what is our innate wisdom, that by sharing that, it opens us up to, we the teacher, opens us up to a deeper level of clarity about something that we may be working on. So it just fills us up with more creativity. So I think the more we're willing to share, the more we're able to receive.
Absolutely, and thank you for saying all that. I really appreciate it, but here's the thing. What I have learned is that by not trying to put a price on my wisdom, if you want to call it that, or my knowledge or my experience, I just get to meet the darndest people, and I get to talk with people, and I get to share, and they share, and then it all eventually comes back to me, or it doesn't. It may that I don't know about. You know, that kind of pay it forward thing. You don't always know when it's going to come back to you, but it does. It really, really does. And what I have found by just being very enthusiastic about what I know, and you know, and like that conversation that we had last week, look, I do this all the time, and I don't make a penny out of it. Do I care? No, because I am sharing knowledge that I have learned that is so important. It really is. And that knowledge can then be trailed down the road to other people, and it can only help. It can only help. So would I put a price on that? Absolutely not. But you know what the payment for me is? What you just said. I'm sitting here, I'm kind of teary-eyed, like, oh, that's so sweet. You know, thank you. That is my reward.
Well, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And I think that the reward for our work comes to us, and it's a great conversation, too, is that many times we think, you know, the reward comes to us in certain ways, financial ways or other ways,
right,
that maybe we find it. But when we can broaden that perspective of how does the reward, how does the fulfillment of giving our greatest gifts to others, how does that fulfillment come to us? And just like what you're expressing,
right,
now, it comes through that sense of making a contribution. And I found,
right,
that with us as women, especially when we speak about, you know, what are we as women deeply moved by, I believe that we are deeply moved by that sense of contribution. And that when we begin to value those greatest assets within us, the greatest talents, the greatest gifts, the greatest possibilities that are flowing through us, and begin to share those, that's when we'll come to that sense of contribution. And by sharing them and opening up to that sense of contribution, who knows where it might take us in building our businesses or building new communities or innovating change in the world or just simply having a happy, fulfilled life by making that contribution and valuing those parts of ourselves that maybe we've undervalued or forgot.
Right. Well, and you know, one of the things that you said too, which is really important, is that you don't know what you know half the time. And I don't think you put it quite like that, but that's what stuck in my head. I will be chatting with somebody, or just as a for instance, because this is so recent, I've been writing a series of articles on virtual assistants outsourcing, how virtual assistants can partner with other virtual assistants to build their practice. And I put them on LinkedIn, and they go to ezine.com. They go everywhere. LinkedIn, the conversations around these articles have just been an eye-opener for me because people don't know what I know, and I'm surprised that they don't know it because it makes so much sense to me, and it's so intuitive to me. And I look at some of the responses, and my eyebrows kind of raise, and my jaw kind of drops. So, again, that's where I have to share. I have to go back into those communities and say, well, you know, that's a great question. Here's how you do this, or here's a suggestion. What comes so simply and easily to me, I need to realize and understand, and I think a lot of people do, that just because we know it doesn't mean anybody else knows it. And just because, as you said, it's so easy for us doesn't mean it's easy for somebody else. So share that information. It may be kind of, meh, you know, this is kind of basic for me, but it's not for everybody else. So share it. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Share that info. It's important.
Really important. And I think it's, you know, how do we determine what's easy for us is that it's those things that we say to ourselves is that doesn't everybody already know this?
Yeah.
It seems so natural to me. Doesn't everybody already know this? And I
right.
love the idea of putting it, you know, posting it in social media. Is that sometimes
oh,
the
yeah.
posts that I put up could be so, to me, so natural way of thinking or natural way of approaching it, but you'll notice that the input, you know, the response, just like what you said on in LinkedIn, mm-hmm. the response is the eye-opener for us. The
oh,
eye-opener
yeah.
is that, hold on, wait, what I thought was so natural for everybody is something that's profound for the next person. It's really that motivator that, or that
right.
eye-opener or that awakening moment, you know, where it's like, wait, I can see this differently now. So I think that by not underestimating the value of what's so very natural to you is what we're talking about. Do not underestimate it anymore and be willing to open up and share those because who knows what sharing that insight or sharing that that understanding might bring you to. Just like I love the story about LinkedIn because it brought you to a new insight of, wait, there's a new way
it
of doing
did.
This that others haven't thought of. And so you just innovated
right.
something that was just bubbling up within you naturally.
Yeah, and it takes me back to what you said earlier. The teacher is many times learning as they are teaching. I put these articles out there, and the feedback comes back. And when I say my jaw drops, I'm not kidding. But it tells me just how profoundly underserved my industry is as far as education goes. So this is a good thing.
Yes, it is a very good thing, and it's a great conversation because each of us, I believe, we're constantly looking to redefine our possibilities. And mm-hmm. by constantly looking to expand and discover what is that talent within me that can be shared, how can I build my business into something that's more uniquely expressive of me? How can I begin to have a brand identity or an image that really truly represents the real me? Well, these are the questions that we have to ask ourselves, is that what is naturally easy for me? What do I think everybody in the world, don't they already know this? Because in those questions could be the seeds of that business identity or that unique opportunity that you're offering to others that maybe you've overlooked. So then when we're talking about how to take our work out into the world, and it's what most of the work that I do is working with women and men in how to discover the real heart and soul of what they're here to contribute. What is it that I'm really here to share with the world? And that can change constantly. You know, I'm in the middle of shifting my description of my work right now. And so I encourage my clients to continually explore and shift mm-hmm. so that the contribution that you're making as an individual is something so uniquely yours that as you evolve, so does your message. As you evolve, so does your business opportunity. And you just continually share everything that you're discovering in ways that could impact somebody that you don't even know that it's impacting.
Right. Marsh, you absolutely just described my business model. And here is a problem that I see, and I would venture to suspect that you see it as well. People who are maybe leaving the corporate world or they're, you know, leaving their job for whatever reason, attrition or laid off or the economy, whatever, there's a lot of shifting now towards the Internet and towards, thank God, entrepreneurism. But here's the thing. What I am seeing is a lot of people will come to me with an idea and they say, okay, I'm going to do this. And they're breathless. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to put out this product. And I'm going to offer these services. And this is how much. And this is how much money I'm going to make. And I just die inside every time I hear that. They have missed exactly what you have just been saying, that they have to share their insights, their resources, their heart, their soul. And the money will come. And that's a problem. Are you seeing this as well?
Well, I think that many times, you know, what we consider to be security, we equate to money because the fact is money
right.
does pay our rent. And so sometimes when we're first stepping into our first entrepreneurial venture, we want to be assured that we're also going to make money, which is not
right.
a bad thing. I mean, definitely when you're creating a business model, stream of income is high on the priority. I think I'm right on this thought, am I?
Yep.
When we put our business model, a stream of income is definitely in that conversation, you know, or really why do it? And because there's always
Absolutely,
a stream of
but
income
it shouldn't
that
be
can
the,
come through
the first
any
thing.
Entrepreneurial venture. But
yeah.
I think that it's when we are doing it because of the money, where we get sidetracked.
That's
because
where I was
what
going.
Happens
yeah.
is that if we're doing it because of the money, now think about it, we start to make choices based on, will this make me money? Or we start to make creative, you know, creative focus goes towards, well, this will make us the most money. Now, sometimes that's an important conversation because it's smart business, but there's other times when we start to ding our own integrity. We ding what's important to us, where we're not making choices in alignment with really, really what's to the highest expression of our greatness. So
right.
sometimes that, you know, I had somebody tell me, like, I'm getting ready to do a lot of appearances in churches. And I love to go to all different types of faith. I love to celebrate. And I love to go to spiritual centers. And that's just what I love. It's to my heart calls me to do this. And somebody said to me, yeah, but there's not any money there. And I thought, so what? What does that mean?
I know.
There's, you know, so what? It's it feeds my soul. You know, it feeds my soul. There's other streams of income that will come in other ways. But what's important to me right now is to be in my spiritual center. And if that's, if I find it in the spiritual communities, if that's where I'm able to connect with that and my life is richer for that, then that's what I'm choosing to do. The stream of income in my business model will come in other ways. And so I think that when we look at building our entrepreneurial ideas and building our business models, and there are brand new business models that are being birthed as we speak, when we start to put new business models together or our business model that best fits the career expression or the business we're wanting to build, I think it's really important that we look at what feeds our soul, what brings us that depth of connection. How can we feel more fully expressed in that environment? And then we look to the financial streams that can come from that or can come from other areas that will support us living a full balance of opportunity. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And this is exactly what I try to express to people who come to me and say, okay. And one of my mastermind partners, and I will tell you straight out, he's got the best mind I've ever known, would come to me with these brilliant ideas because he's a numbers guy. And he's like, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to bring in this much money. And no, we're not. It's just not going to happen. And I finally got him to your point of view and my point of view, which is work from your heart, work from your center, do what you love, do what you're passionate about. When you are sharing that passion and that innovation and that excitement, people are attracted to what you're doing. And when they are attracted to what you're doing, they just automatically share. And that sharing then becomes a part of your business model. But if you're going to come to me and say, okay, Denise, we're going to set this up and we're going to do this, and by the end of 30 days, we're going to rake in $500,000, you're going to be deeply disappointed, more than likely. It may happen. It may. I'm not going to say it won't. But chances are you have set your sight on the wrong star. And I finally got my favorite mind, my mentor, mastermind partner, to agree to that, and things have changed dramatically for him. His life has shifted. His business has shifted. Things are rocking along pretty good. Once he got that numbers thing out of his head and approached it from a very analytical numbers standpoint and started approaching it from, you know, this is what I love. This is what I have to share. This is what I am brilliant at. It all changed. So, yeah, you're making absolute sense to me.
Well, what I'm also seeing as we're speaking is that it comes down to understanding that we can have what we love, and we can have financial success.
Absolutely.
We can have it all. You know, so that if there's a real passion that we have or something that really feeds our spirit, we can have, yes, we can have that. The financial success may come from that, or it may come from other stemming ideas or ways that support that vision, but we can have it all. We can have what we love, and we can have financial success. It's not one or the other. And back in the old days, perhaps there was a belief that we may still carry in our DNA that says work has to be hard. Work has to be something that really we come home from and we're really tired. I don't know, you know, if any of us remember our family, our mom or dad coming home, and I'm just too tired to play with you, honey. I've had too long of a day. And I think that we got this belief that said work has to be really hard, and it has to be a struggle, and it has to be challenging in a way that pushes us to where we don't feel healthy, and all kinds of things, to where we really have to take responsibility for shifting that paradigm and saying, hold on, work is fulfilling. Work is joyful. Work is creative. Work is something that is making a contribution. Work is something that I'm being respected for what I bring to the table. Work is something that's innovative. Work is something that's joyful. And when we start to see and define work in a new way, and we start to also look at work can be something that is financially rewarding and all of these and more, then we begin to begin to make real shifts in the way we approach our careers. We begin to make real shifts in the way we approach building our businesses and interacting with others, because imagine that the moment that we understand that there's plenty of joy and plenty of financial abundance for all of us, that we begin to open up and do those collaborations we've been talking about and do the sharing of our resources that we're talking about and start to really fulfill not only our own life but the lives of others.
Right, right. And you're right. Work, to me, when I worked in other people's businesses, I was not happy. In fact, frankly, I was miserable. So I didn't do much of it. I've almost always worked for myself because I'm a great boss. But here's the thing. If you are doing what you love, and I don't know if Shakespeare said this first or if Dolly Parton said this first, I'm not sure. But, you know, basically, to paraphrase, if you are doing what you love, it is not work. And it's not. I mean, you catch me at 3 o'clock in the morning building a website just because I woke up and went, woohoo, and tore out of the bed and had a creative, you know, creative thought and went and acted on it. And it's fun. Work should be something that you absolutely love to do. And that's what, you know, brings money to your family. That is how you feed your spiritual needs, your financial needs, your emotional needs. It's work is something that comes from within you, and I don't call it work. I call it creativity. You know, you're just busy, you're happy, you're excited, you're enthused. I mean, you know, you're focusing on solutions. I mean, I have a ball every day, and I work 7 days a week. I kid you not. Is it work? Nope. Not a bit.
It's great. You're one of the lucky ones that have really tuned into where your contribution can be made, where it's you're filling a need for people, and you're in your absolute joy with what you're sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really having all of those things in so that you're firing off on all cylinders and bringing into balance really your greatest contribution, because when you're in that flow and you're in that joy, who knows how it's impacting others in the world? All I know is that it's a great thing to find that place. And I think we all have that place, and we're all at different levels of connecting with that. I also believe that sometimes we can be, at least from my experience, I've been in that place before, and then I kind of get off. It doesn't feel quite the same. And for me, when I'm at that place where I'm stretching into the new, and new discoveries are coming in, it's like, okay, let me step back for a moment and refocus again. What is it that's bringing me the greatest joy? What is this contribution that I'm being asked to make? How can I share this with others more? How can I build a business model that gives me more flexibility or more creative freedom? And I think that we are constantly evolving that. So if we're there right now, fantastic. If we're not there and we're searching for that place, know that it's there for you. And if we've been there and we know that feeling, but it's stretching to the new, know that it will be there again for us, but that we're maybe being asked to look at some things in the way we're approaching so that we can bring ourselves back into that center again. Because not everybody, you know, is at a place. I know right now, I think I posted something on Facebook. It said, you know, lots of revisioning and lots of refocusing and lots of redefining for me, and I'm up to that right now, and it's about restructuring the approach for 2011. It's about taking, you know, the success that I've had to date and refocusing that in a way that I believe will take my work, take the message, take my mission, take, you know, the creativity that flows through me to where it could be shared with more people. I'm really into that space right now, and I think probably a lot of us are with 2011 coming up.
Looking at,
you know, here we are, November and December, and it's like, what is next year? What do I want next year to look like? What do I want that to be filled with? And it's a great time for each of us to consider, you know, what are my investments of energy, and how do I wish to invest my creativity, and what do I want to create next year?
That's beautifully stated, Marsh. One of the things that you've said, well, several of the things you've said, you mentioned DNA, you know, the old-fashioned, oh, gosh, you know, work is work, and I come home tired, and I don't have time to play. I also think that maybe part of our DNA thinking, I don't think it's really part of who we are any longer, but I think as a society, we are shifting towards, oh, gosh, I have to have a job. Oh, gosh, I'm going to wind up on unemployment. to thinking, you know what, I can be an entrepreneur. I've got great recipes. I'll share those. You know, I'm a great crock pot cooker. I can share those. And then as you say, you shift and you grow. I'm doing exactly what you're doing. I am reworking my business model. I am reworking the products and the systems that I have in place because it's time. It's just time to do that. Nothing remains static. And I think that's part of the entrepreneurial mindset, if you will, is that we don't allow ourselves to remain static. We don't wait for that paycheck on the 15th and on the 30th. We're creating our own reality, so to speak. And it's a very exciting thing to do.
Yes, it is. And I guess that does take us back to that conversation about courage and trailblazing and bold risk-taking.
Right.
And, you know, maybe we do call upon those attributes and those skills and surround ourselves with people that can support us in finding that for ourselves. I think it's really important as well. And it's an exciting time, though. One of the things that I think it's most important. I was talking to a friend the other day. It's like I put a plan in place, and by noon, it seems like that plan has taken a whole different shape and form. It's not what I thought it was going to be. You know, so I think that flexibility and willing to adapt and let go of and allow that, you know, our business plans or our business models to continually evolve. I think that's important for us to look at as well, because even if we have a plan in place, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the solid plan. It means that that's the beginning steps to where you'll be going. And
right.
I just heard a speaker speak the other day. It's like, you know, focusing in on what next three steps you wish to take, not with, you know, 100 years from now, what you want to do, or 10 years from now. Yes, you can look at that long-term vision, and you can look at a 5-year plan, or you can look at a 3-year plan, or even a 12-month plan, but know and be comfortable with the fact that that plan is going to shift and take a different shape. And at the end of that 12 months, it may look completely different than what you thought it was going to look. But that as long as you're in that creative flow and you're having a good time and you're making that impact or making that contribution that you really intend to make, you're still in that alignment with your integrity and that deepest desire of sharing, then you're still in that creative flow. It doesn't mean that you've missed the mark. It means you may have exceeded what you thought you were going to create.
Great point. And you know one thing, too, is when you are in that creative flow, and like you, I am most of the time. I mean, it's a rare day when I'm not being creative. You tend, tell me what you think of this, and I want to know if this is something that happens to you regularly. As you said, you start your day out with a plan. By noon, it's changed. I have tried the whole little, you know, I'll lay out 6 little cards, you know, 6 little index cards, and I put out my 6 most pressing things to do. At the end of the day, none of those have actually worked out the way I thought they would, because I've thought of new ideas for either this client or that project. I have invited or attracted more information than I really know what to do with, and I may have attracted a partner or two at the end of the day. So, you know, what happens is, and tell me if this happens to you, I'm willing to bet it does. You set out your plan, you think, oh, this is really cool. I can do this, you know, piece of cake. I can whip this out by noon. And then you get on the phone with somebody like me who says, oh, yeah, but what about blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden that plan has expanded way beyond, you know, maybe what you thought it would. Or you have a conversation with yourself as you're cooking lunch and that plan expands or changes or shifts entirely. It's an amazing thing to have that flexibility in your mind and in your heart, really.
And it's necessary. It's like really necessary that we have that flexibility.
Yeah.
I remember when 10 years ago, Amazing Woman's Day will be 10 years old this next, in 2011, and it's impossible for me to imagine that. But it's 10 years that we've been celebrating Amazing Woman's Day for 10 years around the world, bringing women together. And that really opens my heart to understand, you know, to know that. And I remember when the first vision of Amazing Woman's Day came to me, Spirit spoke through me and said, stop imagining. This is larger than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. I can imagine pretty big. I don't know. Stop imagining. This is larger than you can imagine. So I think what you were saying is that when I heard your words, it's like, put down the idea. For me, it was Amazing Woman's Day, bringing together women around the globe, or bringing together women in communities where we will celebrate and honor our possibilities. And that was the vision. But the way it wants to take shape and form, the way the universe is going to give you the answers, the way the all of the components are going to come together may be much larger than that initial idea that you've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Amazing Woman's Day grew into cities and, you know, 50 cities simultaneously in one day, I had no idea how that was going to happen.
You didn't plan that.
If I thought about it very long, it would have scared the bejeebies out of me, right? It's
right.
Just like, how could that possibly happen in one day? How could
right.
I have 50 cities, and how would I have 50 locations happening, and how would that be going? But I didn't have to worry so much about the how. The ideas began to come. The partnerships began to take shape. The contacts began to just reveal themselves. My job as that bold risk taker that we've talked about, or that trailblazer, was to be willing to witness and see the opportunities as they presented themselves. And then the key part is be willing to say yes to them, so that when those opportunities
yeah.
reflected or showed up, I could see it and say, okay, this is a yes. Let me go with this. This is going to move
right.
us forward. Don't know where that's taking us, but we're growing something here together. And I think that it comes to that, be willing to have that seed of an idea while you're also willing to be flexible and adaptable, simultaneously holding on to the clarity of really what matters most to you. So when you're building a business, that seed of an idea must always be the focus of every choice you're making, every yes you're saying, also knowing when to say no. You know, I've been put in a position recently because there's, you know, a lot of opportunities being presented. I really have to discern what's the best in alignment. What are the yeses that are really yeses, and what are those that I, you know, maybe it needs to be a no, or maybe it needs to be a maybe in the future. And so I think it's important to understand that seed of an idea, the values that are within the seed of the idea, and what really matters most to you in building that organization, building that business, building that career, and then allowing it to grow through the associations and through the new opportunities that are naturally being attracted to you, because you're the one holding that vision. So you're naturally going to be attracting in people that can help to grow that vision with you. And your job is to truly, truly be in love with that seed of an idea, so that when people come to you, they can really feel it within you.
Well, you know, I think we can kind of narrow this down to one little phrase that my grandfather told me 100 years ago. It seems like he said, you know, honey, water always seeks its own level. And that stuck with me. He was absolutely right. Water seeks its own level. So if you surround yourself with ideas and innovation and people who are working towards the same goals that you are, the same ideas, not necessarily the same products or services, but just have that enthusiasm and that, you know, that just absolute delight in what they're doing, water will seek its own level.
I think it's falling in love with that idea. Falling in love with your creativity, falling in love
right.
with your business concept. And many times that means having confidence in what you've created, valuing what you've created, you know, valuing the possibilities, and then simultaneously valuing what other people can bring to your idea and respecting
right.
what their contribution might be, so that you're not in it alone. You don't have to do this alone. We could do this in community. We can do this, you know, your greatest gift in technology is a huge support to me in building my greatest gift, which is bringing community together. I mean, just think of that example in itself. So
right.
that we're, you know, we're sharing, you're holding true to what you love the most, which is what attracted me to you, and I'm holding true to what I love the most, and together we're creating something that is just absolutely spectacular.
And we learn from each other as we go.
As we go. And I think that
right.
That's the most important thing we could, you know, if there's any message today, it's really about valuing your creativity and valuing your innovation while you open up to value other people's innovation and other people's creativity simultaneously, so that together
okay.
we are creating real shifts in the world and making real contribution.
I love that idea. One thing that I do see, though, is people will say, okay, there's two things that I find happen. you know, people come to me and say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to be the first in the industry. I'm not going to be the best in the industry. And there are no new ideas. And that's another chat altogether. And the second thing that I see is that people say, well, I want to copy everything this person did. No, you are you. You bring your very special talents, gifts, insights, passion, creativity. You are you. You have to speak from your heart. And once I get that through to a client, we're good to go. But if they're just wanting to copy somebody else or overtake somebody else, frankly, I don't take them as a client.
That's a little bit old school, isn't it? That's an old way of thinking.
It is very old
school. From my perspective, it's
just
old school. And I think that really comes down to, though, is that what we've been talking about is valuing my creativity. You know, my idea is something to be valued. My idea may incorporate some of the things that I've seen in the world. You know, I've studied with, you know, myself, my own speaking and teaching incorporates lots of the studies. You know, I'm a big fan of Joseph Campbell, so when I do my story coaching, lots of my story coaching is from some of the insights I've gained and learned from you know, the mythology and the way of telling story that Joseph Campbell has. I've studied with some beautiful spiritual teachers, Don Miguel Ruiz with the Four Agreements. A lot of my words come from the insight I gained from him, and on and on and on. I have beautiful mentors around me that are both business mentors and spiritual mentors that have helped me to see deeper parts of myself. And I think when we can start to see all of the inspiration that has been around us through our entire life, and we bring it all together and we cook it up and we bring it back out into the world to share as our own individual expression, it takes a level of valuing of that. It takes a level of feeling comfortable with that. It takes a level with saying, my idea is just as valuable as anybody else's idea in the world, so I'm going to believe in myself. I think that coming to that place is really important for all of us so that we don't feel the need to have to copy, but rather stand in our own creativity, stand in our own insight, in our own wisdom of what we have to share. It takes some courage to do that, and I'm not going to say it doesn't, because sometimes we're going to be different than somebody that's out there. Sometimes we're going to be bringing forth a new idea, and thank goodness there's been a lot of people that have brought forth new creative innovation that has ultimately been, you know, that culmination of all of their insights that they've grown through all of the inspiration in their life. So I think it's really important that each of us come back to that place of saying, I have a unique idea that's unique to me, and I have a unique gift and talent that's unique to me. And this is the day that I'm saying yes to valuing that within myself. This is the day that I'm not going to try to chameleon somebody else's idea, but rather I'm going to find my own inspiration, and I'm going to believe in that inspiration enough and value it enough and cherish it enough and fall in love with it so much that I'm willing to take action on it. And I think anybody listening that is at that place, and many, many of us are, and I'll join you right there with it, it's that when we're coming forth with that new structuring or that new visioning or looking at our 2011 in a brand new way, saying, I'm going to stretch myself, I'm going to put myself a little bit into some discomfort, because I know that by stretching myself and sharing more of what's real and important to me, I'm going to make a difference in my life and hopefully perhaps make a difference in the world around me. I'm going to do that. I'm willing to say yes to that rather than reflect what's already out there. It's a really important conversation.
It is, and that's the, nobody can have that conversation with you but you. But once you get there, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You know what, Marsh? We didn't have an opportunity. We had such a great conversation that I didn't ask you any of the questions I wanted to ask you. Can I get you? This happened. So, can
I
get you to come back
after
the
first
of the
year? It went so fast, didn't it? I can't imagine that an hour had passed.
It did, and I thought
time.
A ton. We did, and thank you so much. And I would love, to, you know, I want to ask you if you can come back after the first of the year, because I have questions. So, if you don't mind, can I get you to come back in January, February?
Oh, absolutely. I would absolutely love to have
great.
Such a great time with you. great conversation today. Very relevant to where we are sitting here on November 12th of 2010. So, you know, what is that, about six or 8 weeks before our new year will be here. And I think that all of us, getting that new clarity and that new creative freedom, it's such an important time right now.
It is. It is. Well, I am going to see, we've got some people in on the line, and I'm going to see if we have a couple minutes to see if we can get some in. Sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. But let's see if we can get anybody on the line to come in and talk with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love that.
Okay. Well, this is Denise, and I'm here with Marsh Engel. Do you have a question for her? Hello? Like I said, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, we had one question in the chat room that I wanted to get to. And the question is, why do women tend to self-deprecate? Why do they not value their success? And why do they take, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, why do they take other people's attitudes about their business kind of personal?
Well, I think that many times we get caught in a pattern. It's just an old habit, I will say, and it's an old pattern of wanting the approval of others. You know, the truth is, the heart and soul of who we are, we're nurturers and we're caregivers. We love people. And the heart and soul of who we are, that's who we are as women. And sometimes we look for that approval to say, yes, I'm doing a good job. Yes, I'm caring for you the way that you need. Yes, I'm making a difference in your life. And I'm not saying that that's not important, but when we're building a business and we're beginning to trust our own creative callings and what we wish to be in the world, sometimes we must find that independence so that we can come back to an interdependence, meaning that independence of thought, that independence of caring, that independent way of making a contribution, so that we can come back and share it with others and then become interdependent, which is what we've been talking about today, where others then do bring insight into what we're creating and do share with us what they feel is some new ideas for us. But the first step we have to do is really become okay with trusting and celebrating the clarity of what our own creative calling is. Then from there we can open up to the insights of others and not get caught in the pattern or the old habit of needing approval before we bring forth that independent thought.
And that's where self-knowledge comes into play. You really need to go deep in yourself and understand that nobody can think your thoughts but you. And nobody can, you can perceive that you have somebody's approval, but that's a perception and it may be completely incorrect. Or you may perceive that you don't have their approval. Again, it can be completely incorrect. The person that you have to really satisfy, from my way of thinking, is yourself. And when you're satisfied and you're happy and you're creative and you're in the moment, you're in, you know, wherever spiritually you need to be, the people around you are happy. It's not your job to go make people happy. It's your job to make you happy, and that makes everybody else happy. And that's how business works for me.
And it's definitely the way you can make a real contribution in the world, because many times those that have made the biggest shifts and changes and contribution are the ones that shake things up. They don't go with status quo. They really are here to bring forth new thought or new way of doing something that does shake up things. You know, it definitely gets outside of the norm. So we have to, just like you said, have that self-knowledge, but also I think it's that deep value of knowing what it is that we're contributing is making a difference, even if it's not immediately understood.
Right, and that is so important. I'm glad you said that, because nothing, oftentimes during the day you'll think, well, that didn't make much sense, or let me look at that later. And it'll come to you while you're sleeping. I find that most of my clarity comes while I'm sleeping. I will turn whatever is bothering me over to my subconscious for review, literally. And I'll wake up 2 or 3 in the morning and I've got an answer, and it's a perfect answer. But you're right. Things will, you'll think of something, go, oh my gosh, what was that? What did I do? Oh God. And then 3 days later, it's perfectly, brilliantly explained to you. So just be patient.
Yes, it is. Patience is an important attribute, that's for
it
sure.
Is.
But I think it's also, it comes to, you know, noticing when am I people pleasing, when am I trying to get the approval or recognition, and know that the only person that can come from, just as you pointed out, the only person that recognition can come from is me for myself, you for mm-hmm. yourself. And from there, recognition of the contribution that you're making is really important, that you have a clarity of that so that right. you can continue to innovate and create real, real lasting contribution in the world.
And that goes back to, you know what we know, but we assume everybody else knows it. And that's wrong thinking. So I think that's something that people really need to be clear on, is just because you know it and you think it might be common knowledge doesn't mean that you shouldn't share it anyway.
Exactly. Coming back to that, what's most natural to me is something that somebody else is waiting to hear as new news.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really valuing that what's natural to me doesn't mean that it's commonplace. It just means
right.
it might be natural to me, but somebody else is waiting for that insight.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we are running over, and I thank you so much for being with me here today, and I really look forward to having you back again after the first of the year. So thank you, and thank you so much for being here. You've given some really great information to me and to our audience, and we all appreciate it very much.
Thank you. It's been a great joy.
Well, thank you. Well, everybody, thank you for being here, and the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Marsh Engel, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Marsh.
Love and joy. Bye.
Bye.